This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
I am not a camper at all. In fact, yesterday I was wearing a t-shirt that said indoorsy because I am. And now I may be a glamper. That's a big thing. And I don't know because I've never had the opportunity to go glamping because I am married to a diehard camper Eagle Scout. It's offensive to even bring up the term glamping in our household, apparently. And I've gone camping reluctantly a handful of times as a kid, and then more reluctantly as an adult. So I've camped at scout camps, and I actually camped outdoors, like for real, once in Rocky Mountain National Forest in Colorado. So for a non-camper, I'm kind of hardcore. And because I am married to a camping purist, when someone says, oh, we went camping or we're going camping, I always ask, okay, what did you do? Where did you go? So when today's guest and I first met, and after sharing that she often goes camping, I asked a little bit about it. And she very quickly admitted that it is indeed glamping and not camping. Like any good events professional, she owned it. She told me all the great things about it. And I think that you're going to find today's conversation to be what I imagine glamping is like. Here's what I think glamping is like. And here's what today's conversation is going to be: fun, adventurous, with a reliable place to use the restroom. So please welcome today's guest, who found that amusing. And I'm so glad because it was iffy for a second. Please welcome today's guest. She just told me it's her first podcast, so I will not be gentle. Today's guest on Speaking of Events is the corporate event manager at Canadian Water Network. It is Jennifer Cowie, glamping professional and event professional. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Carrie.
You are welcome. I know it's your first podcast. How's it feeling?
Nervous, but exciting, which is very typical in the event space anyway. So I feel right at home, I guess.
Right. There's lots of firsts in the event space. So this should be your uncomfortable zone, should be a comfort zone by now.
Exactly.
I'm helping you get there. I'm helping you get there. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I will maybe take it easy on you and ask you what I ask everybody who comes on this podcast, which is, Jennifer, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
This is a great question. So for me, I mean, as most of your guests have mentioned too, there's a lot of thought and curation and time that goes into planning these events. But for me, I think it's actually, as we were talking earlier, the feedback piece. Feedback for me and how important your feedback is when you attend events is really what helps us shape events as we move forward. So when you fill out those surveys, or you get the surveys after you attend an event, you're like, I don't want to fill this out. That is what helps make those impacts and make those events better each time. Because I am a huge believer that there's no such thing as perfect. There's always room for improvement. And the only way we can hear that feedback or make those changes is really by hearing your feedback from your experience as an attendee, from your experience as a volunteer, from your experience as a speaker.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to ask internally as a team, then afterwards you do some sort of debrief and feedback, right? That's closing the loop, right?
Exactly. We need those are part of the process, right? There's evaluation metrics that we also have to measure. And it does include the internal debriefs. And I feel like there's lots of debriefs afterwards for a lot of the teams. So hearing the feedback from the actual attendees that we may not hear because we're not on the ground is right.
Because you're doing everything else behind the scenes.
Exactly. What
have you ever gotten something feedback wise from anybody, to internal, external, attendee, etc., that was super surprising, that you were like, whoa, I did not expect that? Anything, or is it typically data and information that you expected?
I think it's typically what I've expected. There's been some really great ideas of how to make improvements. Nothing that's like earth shattering, but hey, I think we should do this next time. Or, you know, the registration tables, we need to have break the alphabet up this way instead, or whatever the case may be. Something to help streamline processes is typically my favorite feedback to get. How can we make the experience more impactful for attendees or speakers?
Yes. Yes. You know, I'm all about the speakers. Absolutely. We'll talk about that. I do want to talk about the Canadian Water Network or Canadian Water Network? Is it either?
Canadian Water Network, but a lot of times when you're talking about it, it's the.
Okay. Canadian, I shared this with you already. You are my first guest in this really interesting, yes, you're an event professional. You're in this really interesting space of which I haven't talked to anybody even close to this. And for those who don't know and are listening, Canadian, I almost said the, did you see it? Canadian, it was a silent the. It's Canadian Water Network with a silent the. Canadian Water Network was established in 2001 in response to Walkerton's deadly drinking water crisis. Okay, that's on their website. That's a little intense to read. So, of course, I had to find out what Walkerton's deadly water crisis was. I didn't know. And what happened was the water supply was contaminated as a result of improper water treatment following a really heavy rainfall in late spring of 2000. And there was all this rain, all this bacteria came from manure, cow poop, and from nearby cat, as if I had to, I like that I felt I needed to define what manure was.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little silly today. Thank you. Manure, as everybody probably knows, of a nearby cattle. It was being used as fertilizer nearby. There wasn't proper treatment. And I think the stat that I read was more than 2,000 people got sick and it resulted in 6 deaths. So that is what was known as the Walkerton's deadly water, drinking water crisis. Did I get that part right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's interesting. I was in high school at that time. So it's interesting because now when you think of that town, it's kind of the one thing that you think of. And I think Detroit has a lot of that as well, right? With their mm-hmm. the poisoning in the water. And so I think water treatment plants are, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. And sometimes, as someone once said, it's like putting a square peg into a round hole. Sometimes things get missed and they're very dangerous things to get missed or forgotten about or overlooked. And water is kind of essential. So
yes, yes, it is. So what happened was then the organization that invested millions and millions into water research, and today Canadian Water Network exists as an independent nonprofit that serves decision makers across the water sector. And you take care of you are the captain, if I can make a water reference, of all of the events. This is a very different space than what a lot of people work in and a lot of people that I talk to and certainly that what my company supports. The speakers that my company supports. So what do you think your industry, the environmental, specifically water niche industry, has to say to event professionals broadly? What are you doing that might be different or might be interesting to those out there in tech, pharma, anything else?
Just like a lot of environmental things, we conferences and events, we also look at or we consider the impacts of where we are, the sustainability piece. So we, as easily as we don't drink bottled water, we drink the water in pitchers as opposed to the bottles. We're cognizant of our carbon footprint. So a lot of times we talk about internally, where are the people coming from and how are we able to mitigate that? So a lot of times we'll carpool to events too, which might seem funny because it's a water conference, but we still look at the sustainability piece because that's an important factor in for our demographic as well. And our events tend to be more discussion-based, more breakout sessions and panels, and we really get into workshop-y type things, which is really fun and engaging. Fun in a maybe not literal term, but it's been really challenging because I worked in very large recognition events and awards type style events. So this one has been very uniquely challenging and providing a different perspective and more educational and more community and relationship building and networking type space. So that's been really cool.
What did you do during COVID? This is very much community based. This is driven very specifically for this, the water of this area. What did you do?
So we were pretty fortunate. We were already doing webinars and in-person events pre-COVID. So we were experienced in the virtual space. So in 2020, when everyone went home, we all just pivoted to an online event. We'd never done multiple days, multiple sessions. So that was a first for us, but we were able to work through it. It actually ended up working out a lot easier for us because a lot of the guests that we had were familiar with our style and, okay, we're gonna have a prep call and get you all set up for your speaker sessions. And that's gonna happen in advance. And people were starting to do online meetings. So they were comfortable meeting on Zoom or meeting on different platforms and figuring out what that meant. Just having a lot of times the biggest question we get is, wait, which platform is this and how does it work?
Oh, right. Yes.
There's so many. So for our group, it was definitely stressful because of all the external factors going on. But in terms of putting on the event, the conference, it was pretty easy for us because we'd already established our processes for doing that. And for our network, it was really easy for them because now they were so used to having Teams meetings online as well. So for them, it was kind of becoming the norm. And now I feel like people are starting to get that fatigue because I want to see people in 3D or in person, not on a flat screen, like a piece of paper.
Right. Yes. Do you have a preferred platform?
That's the interesting thing. So when COVID happened, I feel like every week there was six new event platforms to choose from. And so we did a deep dive into what platforms do we want to use, which ones offer us what we need. So we don't typically do a trade show. We don't typically do necessarily registration because we know our network, we know our attendees. So for us, a lot of the big, huge pieces of software that were coming out didn't necessarily apply to us. So we like using, there's one, it's called Remo, which is really great. It looks like a wedding floor plan, if you will. And it allows you to move between tables, which for us with breakouts and everything is exactly what we needed, while still giving them the presentations and the information in a regular Zoom type meeting. So that one has been really neat for us. And then we also use Zoom as well. So as most people do, or Teams.
Yes, got it. Great, thank you. You've been in this role for 4 years. You've been with Canadian Water Network for 4 years. How has the role changed from the before times and now the current times?
Yeah, so that's a great question. My role has really changed because we aren't doing the in-person events just yet. So we've started pivoting to including our corporate branding and our staff branding as well, because we aren't necessarily doing webinars for external attendees anymore. We tend to focus more on internal events and really supporting our network and strategic sharing groups and more in-camera type focus groups kind of thing.
In camera. I like how you said that.
We want to make sure that our branding is still out there. So we've really started to focus on our corporate branding, and we're also looking at supporting our up and coming water leaders. So with our student and young professional committee members and mentoring them and setting them up with all the exciting things that are happening in the water industry, and connecting them with some of people in our network, because they will be at some point in our network. So we want to nurture those relationships from stages. So that's been really neat.
So when was your last in-person event?
Our last in-person event was October
2019. Wow.
I know, it's a long time. Yeah.
That was a very long time ago. That's over half your tenure at Getting In Water Network. Yeah. What do you miss most about the in-person events?
The people. That there's something about the energy that you get from people that is just not the same virtually, full stop. I'm an introverted extrovert, and so I need that like quiet to get myself ready for it, but then I feel like I just liven up when I'm around people and in an event. So
do you have anything in person planned? I know that the COVID restrictions are more intense in Canada than here in the US. Is anything on the calendar, or are you guys now locked down because of monkeypox like we're going to be?
No, not yet. But we're hoping for 2023. The biggest thing for us is, while many private organizations are starting to come back to travel, a lot of the municipalities are not ready to do that yet. So local governments aren't necessarily ready to allow travel either. So we figure many of us are ready for it, but their budgets may not be yet. So we're hoping that 2023 allows us to get back together. Because there is something. There's so many takeaways you can get from conversations online. And that's part of the reason we really do breakouts, because it really allows people to share their ahas and share the experience of projects they're working on, and help support each other too through some of the challenges that they might be having. But there's something incredible about seeing people connect in person and watching somebody go walk into a room and see somebody and just like beeline it for that person, because that's who they wanted to come and see, and they just watching them do that is really neat to see.
Yes. So will there be a hybrid option?
So it's interesting, because in 2019, when we were planning our spring in-person event, that we pivoted online, we're talking about how do we create a virtual option for folks who may not be able to get out to fly into Ontario to be able to attend the meeting, but they still want to be part of that conversation and they want to get the value add. So we're already starting to talk about what does hybrid look like before.
Right.
And so now we're looking at, you know, what does hybrid mean? And it kind of means something a little bit different. There's so many options when you say the word hybrid, just like when people say a hybrid working environment, what does that mean?
Right. No, it's different to every single person, everybody, every organization, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So for us, I mean, there's a few options of depending on what is happening with each region. and their COVID rules, we would look at, you know, doing regional, provincial type events. So we have mini regional events. They all log into each other, but there's people in the room. Or there's getting a soundstage and having a few people in the room and having the live option. Or it's sitting in the room with as many people as we can with that digital option and different camera angles so that the people feel like they're not just staring at the stage, but they can see the audience. And
yes,
the person on stage actually has the technology in front of them to be able to interact with the people who are watching live and all those kinds of things. So I think there's so many options available for hybrid, and that's what is exciting to see where we're going to go.
Yes. That's challenging. From the speaker point of view, as we're working with more speakers who are speaking at events that are approaching hybrid similarly, so they're interacting with the in-person as well as the digital audience, it is extremely challenging. They have to be really comfortable with their content and the technology of whatever. If you're not watching, Jennifer had like a pretend sort of device in her hand and was saying that she's interacting with the audience as if we were holding like a mini iPad or something like that. Yeah, that can be really challenging. Speakers in general have a lot of challenges. Do you have, my favorite question, a speaker disaster story perhaps that you could share with us?
I have two that I really want to share because I feel like something that we've really, a lot of people have experienced. And then the other is just from a very different perspective, but still really fascinating, I think. And the first one for me was, you know, we were doing the conference and somebody ended up with food poisoning, which just like almost worst case, right? So
when we're sure it was food, not water, right?
Yes, definitely, because no one else got sick. We're actually at it.
That would be really bad optics.
And it was a closing session, so we and luckily, like we found out the night before. So, when we plan our sessions, we usually have about 10 to 12 people that we've researched on who could speak on this topic, and we always have like backups of our speakers. So we just went through all of our attendees that were there and compared them to the list of the people who we'd had considered for the session, and then had to do all of the reaching out to them, get the confirmation that they were available and interested in doing it, and get the bios and headshots to moderators and on the website and all those details that made for a late night and extra early morning, as a lot of the event professionals know. So that was definitely a stressful moment, but that's always to be expected. Something always goes wrong. But the other one was, I used to have do awards type shows, and we always had a musician on the award show, and it was a Canadian company as well. So we always had Canadian representation, very big on that. And so I was able to get somebody who was very nostalgic for me. I grew up in the 90s. And so this person hadn't done necessarily any new music since then. And I was like, this is going to be great. A lot of our demographic will totally resonate with this artist. It'll be perfect. And a lot of the artists that we've had for years before and then years after would join the session, join the after party and mingle with all the attendees and just hang out. And this artist, after the performance, they were like, okay, I'm out, see you later. Not wanting to participate, not wanting to hang out with any of the staff, and were just too cool for school or whatever the case may be. But it was really disappointing for me because it was kind of a bucket list artist. So sadly, it left a poor taste in my mouth too of that.
Right. Don't they say don't ever meet your heroes, right? Because it can be disappointing. Also, this person is Canadian. Is that correct? Okay. That's totally against the whole, you know, the American view of Canadians. Everybody is super nice. Do you know, right? That's a thing. You guys know that. You guys, I'm asking you to represent your entire country right now, as I'm representing all of the US. Wow. What a bummer.
Yeah. So that one was a little wah wah, but
sorry.
Yeah.
Now I want to Google 90s Canadian musicians. Okay. And see if I can guess who it is. What about it? Okay. So yes, we want them to mix and mingle and be at least for that moment a part of the community. I think it's so important and something we encourage the speakers we work with to do, something that I like to do when I get hired to speak at events, mix and mingle, and absolutely, that's what you should do. What else? What's kind of the top other thing you want speakers to do at events?
I think, the mingling is really key, but I think, for our type of events, one of my favorite things that a speaker did was encourage a young professional, like super young professional, who joined the conference as one of our Water Leaders of Tomorrow attendees. They encouraged them to be part of the conversation and to not discount their questions, which for me was really endearing. And it shows that it doesn't matter who's in the room, that you have value. And I think that was really a really great takeaway for a speaker for me. The other thing is getting to know who you're having a conversation with your peers. If you're on a panel, like getting to know more about them so that you have that conversation. When you build relationships with your fellow speakers on prep calls and whatever else, your conversation for your attendees is more moves along a little bit to a new level. So it heightens the conversation. It really makes it you can tell that there's a little bit of camaraderie. There's a bit more banter because you've learned a little bit about each other. And I think that really makes the session go smoother and creates this really cool dialogue for attendees to witness.
Absolutely. All of those things are something that you had brought up on our prep call, which is important towards making an impact. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that's what speakers do. That's what events should do. I know that's important to you. So how do you do that in your daily role?
Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about this too, but community is really important to me. Kind of been pieces that we've touched on the whole way through, but I feel like there's so many different layers in community. So there's the community in which you live, there's a community in which you work. And so I also feel like it's important because of the community that I live in, it's such a tight-knit community, that I also feel like you have to give back if you're part of the community. So I also volunteer my time. I'm a volunteer coach for my son's soccer, which feels more like herding cats because he's five. I also support my daughter who's playing hockey, and so I'm a member on their board, and I apart from being the chauffeur for both my kids too, so I really feel like that's an important piece of giving back to the community that you're in. So that's
absolutely another. When you say hockey, you mean ice hockey?
I do mean ice hockey. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. See, not I. And it, for Canadian, very clear. For U.S., oh, your daughter plays hockey, so that might mean field hockey here.
I played field hockey growing up too, which I loved. But ice
did you?
Not my choice, but it's my choice. So that's great, and the kids love it too. So that's perfect.
That you are a masterful mom. I love it. I absolutely love it. There's been challenging times. You've been in this role 4 years, over half of that we've been inflicted with COVID, and you're a self-proclaimed introvert, extrovert. You're missing humans. What keeps you going? What keeps you positive and moving forward?
I think, honestly, that's why I really focused on the community pieces with my kids' sports, because it allowed me to have that contact with people that are not on a screen. And our team has also started to do some bursts, if you will, of team meetings face to face, which has been really exciting and just really helps bring that team together. But I am also a super optimist. So I always find the good in everything that I can. So when COVID hit, it was super stressful. But for me, I was like, my kids are home and they're safe. So that's fine. That's great. They're great. And we get the family time all together. So as stressful as it was also really fun. So I think, yeah, it's just surrounding yourself with other positive people too.
Yes. How is the optimism level of Daisy, the dog who is nearby right now?
Well, she's my coworker is sleeping on the sofa. So she is she has no energy right now, which is good. Cause right before we started this call, she was wanting to play ball. So
okay.
I hear a walk in my feet.
Absolutely. Do you have a, this is totally random and really has nothing to do with anything. I'm excited to ask a go-to caffeinated drink. So many people in the event industry I find are like, oh, I'm a coffee or I'm a tea or Red Bull. What's your juice? That's quotes.
I actually have matcha every morning.
Oh.
Yeah. So I make a matcha and I actually, I typically work out every morning too. So I usually add the matcha powder with a little bit of vanilla protein powder in it too. So.
Oh, with hot water. Oh, I'm going to try that. That sounds really, I'm going to call it the Jennifer. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right, Jennifer Cowie, are we ready to move on to the Lightning Express round?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Hey, you sort of already answered one of the questions. I'm going to make you answer it again. So there are 7 questions on the roster, 45 seconds on the clock. There's not really a clock. Are you ready? Let's go. Question 1, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
For me, that would have to be when it starts, seeing all the magic, all the hard work that you've done, bringing it all together and having it go is just feels like magic. And that's my favorite part.
Yay. Who do you consider your mentor or mentors?
My mentor is probably one of my former bosses. Her name is Katie Brown, and she was just really great at being my cheerleader, but also challenging me and pushing me to do more because she knew I had it in me. And that's who I am.
Oh, shout out. Awesome. All right. When we spoke, you also proclaimed yourself as a hard copy girl. Like myself, you have a notebook and pen always. Do you have a favorite kind of pen?
Actually I do. So I am a Papermate Inkjoy.
Oh yes. Yes, you are right there. And for FYI, if anybody cares, I'm a Uniball bold gal, blue. Can you even see that? That's so weird. Okay. What? This is the one I think you already answered. Tell us more. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane other than matcha protein powder and working out?
Yeah. So, I also take my dog for a walk, I think, or family.
Daisy. I'm going to wake her up.
But there is something so peaceful, especially the route that we take on the trail, that is very calming and grounding.
Yes.
Which I feel like the last 2 years, a lot of people have needed a lot of grounding. So, as we do sometimes too. So, but yeah, that or working out. I got guns.
Yes, guns. You do. You do have guns. Big water guns. Look at those. She did. She showed me her muscles.
Yeah.
Mine are okay too. Okay. All right. That's a first for this podcast. Okay. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't talking to you right now, I would be on a meeting and a call meeting, virtual meeting.
Right. Another Zoom typey thing. All right. So you're in the water space. What are the gross things I need to look out for when I go swimming in a lake?
Oh, the blue-green algae. It's also like temperature, water temperature. So if it feels really warm, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, we do it. We have a Great Lake in my hometown in Massachusetts, and they will, it's usually late summer. They close it for a while because it gets that green hue. Okay, we're gonna look out for that. Awesome. Final question, Jennifer, what is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Yeah, so I would say asking them what you can do for them. Because a lot of times you're, especially if it's right in the moment too, your mind is going through all the things that someone stopping and saying, what can I do for you? Or what do you need? Just acknowledging that they're going through a lot, but also saying, hey, I recognize you're doing a lot and I just need to know what else I can do to support you.
Absolutely. Well said, congratulations. You have lived through our Lightning Express round and you did it. Woo-hoo! You phenomenally shone through your very, very first podcast. Congratulations. And thank you so much. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
On LinkedIn, definitely on, it's probably the best way.
All right. We will post your LinkedIn in the show notes. Absolutely. For people who want to connect. And if you're interested in this industry and building community, it is fascinating and definitely, and Jennifer is such, you are an optimist and such a wonderful, kind human to talk to. And thank you so much for your time today on Speaking of Events.
Thanks, Carrie. I really appreciate it.
You are my pleasure. And to our audience, thank you so much. I hope you learned a lot. This was a really interesting, good learning experience for me. And remember that if you like events or if you love events, and even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast and please give us a 5-star rating. I could use some more stars. I'm feeling a little low. Star me up, please. And thank you again, Jennifer Cowie, Canadian Water Network super event star, glamper, and matcha lover. Thank you again to our audience. Remember that whatever you speak about, continue to be speaking of events. Have a great, fantastic, clean water day. Bye.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovationed.